Oral History Press. This is an interview with Penny Callisto for the Youngstown State University Oral History Project on the development of the Salem Community Theater, conducted by Arlene Hassan at 390 East State Street, Salem, on June 1st, 1982, at 6:30 p.m. Penny, could you tell us a little bit about your background?
In theater or personal?
Just personal.
Personal. Well, I was born in Buffalo, New York in 1946. I've lived in Salem all of my life. I went to Salem School, I went to a girls' college in New Jersey, moved to Syracuse, New York, met my husband, moved back to Salem in 1974. I've worked in radio and television all my working life.
Do you have any children?
We have two children, a daughter Sarah 4 and a son Christopher 3.
And your work in television and radio, what did you do?
Well, I have done camera work, on-camera work, film work, in television, and in radio I was office manager, traffic, copy, program and computer.
Hmm. Was this in Syracuse?
Mm-hmm.
Very good. Was that your training from college or did
yeah.
you?
Yeah. Radio TV major.
You had wanted to go into
oh,
that. Did you have any background from high school?
No. No.
Just decided when you went to college.
I didn't have it when I was in high school.
Well, that sounds really interesting. Well, you came to Salem in 1974. What kinds of outlets did you find for your theater background here? Did you find anything at all?
At the time, the Memorial Building Dinner Theater was very strong and very successful. Unfortunately, it didn't last too long after we moved here. It had been in operation about 5 years before we moved here. And then in fall of 77, three of us from the original dinner theater decided we would get together and start, along with Kathy Bernhardt, our board of directors, and two or three other Salem ladies, we would start Salem Community Theater.
Then you were on the original board.
Mm-hmm.
And you have stayed with it ever since.
I've stayed with it. Once you're on, you don't get off.
That is something about that term. It is an indefinite term on that.
Yes, it is.
And so you can stay forever.
Forever. Forever and ever.
What prompted you to go off on your own and start? The dinner theater had dissolved by then?
Yes. It was no longer dinner theater.
What was the reason behind that?
Internal problems, problems with the director. Nobody seemed to know where the finances were going. And it just broke from there.
And that had been connected with the City Parks and Recreation Department?
Yes.
Then, now you had said had you worked with Kathy Verhoff before in the dinner theater?
No, she was not involved with the dinner theater.
But you had gotten to know her?
Our first board meeting, first Salem Community Theater board meeting, was the first time I'd ever met Kathy.
And so you weren't aware that she was in the community?
No, not at all.
And what was the purpose behind the formation of the Salem Community Theater?
Community entertainment. Salem had, years ago, had a theater, Salem Plays. The generation now, I would imagine, it's the few people left in Salem who were in Salem Plays.
David's father and Mr. Schmidt.
Mm-hmm. Yes, well, I was going to say, 55 to 65 age group is what they are now, so it's been a long time since Salem has had any theater outlet other than driving the history plays, Cleveland, Youngstown, Akron.
Well, now, had the community or the Memorial Dinner Theater, had that been successful economically?
We were never out to make a profit, to make a big profit. We really had no expenses. We were permitted to use the Memorial Building stage and gymnasium.
I guess we better explain what the Memorial Building is.
I guess it's a civic property. It's used by Aquinas Rotary, Lions Club, and the Dinley Theater was part of their recreation. So we really had no expenses other than we needed wood materials, building materials, props. We were permitted to spend a little money, and that was about it.
But you didn't have to pay operating expenses like lights and heat?
Absolutely not.
Rent on the building or anything like that?
No, not at all. Well, they owned us.
And now then when you decided to go into the Salem Community Theater, what was the plan of attack? What was the first thing you thought you ought to get underway?
Our first production. we didn't financially. We weren't financially in a position to do a lot of publicity. There were a few ads in the paper, and that was it. We put together a season, and well, we opened in September with Godspell, and our first board meeting was in July. So within 6 to 7 weeks, we had a show on the road.
Now, where did you perform that?
At the high school.
And where had you rehearsed?
All over Salem, wherever anyone would let us. We at the time were renting the vacant American Legion Hall downstairs. We did most of our rehearsing there, and occasionally, if they were booked for a single night somewhere along the line, we moved to the junior high. We weren't in the high school. We were not permitted in the high school for the rehearsals until the week of dress rehearsal. We were in the Sunday before the show, mostly in the American Legion.
Now, Kathy was already with you by that?
Yeah, oh yes, Kathy was our director.
And she, now was she getting paid for this?
Oh, yes.
How did you get your operating funds originally?
We counted on people donating from the beginning, and many did. It wasn't, really what it is now, but the little money that we made from Godspell just seemed to keep us going.
And then after Godspell, what did you do from there?
After Godspell, what did we do? Now I really have to think. Jacques Brel in February, the end of January, 1st of February.
And that was performed at the
American Legion? That was at the American Legion.
And that was the bad one?
Yeah, that was, and it hurt us. Even in rehearsal, a lot of people, a lot of the cast at times couldn't make it to rehearsal. Well, or Kathy would cancel rehearsal because the weather was so bad.
Now, how long after that did Kathy stay with you?
Before the next 4.5 years.
She didn't quit for a time in between?
Oh, she did, yes. There was a 6-month period there where she had resigned. She got through that season shortly after we closed Superstar. She resigned, and we were without her for 2 productions, and she was back.
And what did you do in the interim?
Bob Vincent, who is a drama instructor at the high school, directed Promises, Promises, and Judy Wall, who's a board member, directed 1,000 Clowns.
Now, how was the original board set up? Besides yourself, what?
It was, at the time, it was a matter of calling people on the phone and saying, would you please be on our board?
What were the responsibilities when these people said, well, what do I have to do?
Yes.
What
well,
did you tell them?
We said, it was almost a matter of, well, you come to a board meeting, you see what needs doing, and that's it. We really had no responsibilities. We did everything.
There was no real structure yet.
Oh no, none. That didn't happen until the past year.
Was your husband actively involved in it at that time?
Quite actively, yes.
Okay. As time went on, then you did get. How did the theater change as time went on?
we grew, and the more growing we did, the more obstacles and pains we found. We were being treated, we felt, quite terribly by the high school, by the administration. We were trying to bring something to town that hadn't been here for years. And we were being charged anywhere up to $1,300 for that week to do a show. And we felt that the taxpayers built the new auditorium. The least that could do is go back to the community, and not necessarily free of charge, but we were paying for a lot of things we didn't really need to pay for. They always had extra janitorial services, extra security. And I know that the people that worked didn't see the money. The school, the administration probably saw the majority of the money that they were charging us. But, you know, last question?
How did the theater change as time went on?
Well, we grew, and we did three seasons outside of what we now call our own theater. Well, it is our own theater. Anywhere we could do this.
And you found out, for one thing, of course, that the rental cost, the cost of finding a facility to put it on, was a problem. What other problems were involved?
Moving sets. We built them at Old McKinley School, was another one, in the down where the Administrative Board of Education meets now, or works now. That was our rehearsal in the old gym. We built the sets there. They would have to be transported to the high school or the junior high, wherever we were doing them. We had no heat at McKinley. Never had any heat in the room. Then we rented for a while. We thought at the time we might buy the old Moose Lodge. Well, that didn't go through. There was a reason we didn't want it. I hesitate to say that it was far beyond the safety code, but I think that's what it was. I think it would have taken a million to renovate that. But we were using their basement to build sets and store sets. We have literally stored and built all over and performed all over. People, and one of our main problems was we found people saying, "We never know where you're going to be next." We did Godspell at the high school. This is in one season, open season. Godspell at the high school, Brawl at the American Legion, Virginia Woolf at the YWCA, The Boyfriend at the junior high, and Back to the High School for Superstar.
And obviously that, as you say, that makes it difficult for people to associate
yes,
you with one thing.
Yes, they were just, well, where are you going to be next show? Well, we don't know, and we didn't know until a couple weeks before, prior to opening night. We really weren't sure where we were going to be.
Did you encounter any competition?
No competition, but we had, it was very difficult divorcing ourselves from the dinner theater.
Nope.
Even though it no longer existed, people would say, "Oh, you're so-and-so's group." I won't mention the director's name, but I would say, "No, we're not. They're no longer in existence. They are now."
Yeah,
they're not even competition now. Our competition now lies in the city. You understand? We feel that we've come far enough along that we're no longer, we're not a small-town community theater. There are many community theaters that we know of that operate out of a checkbook, which we did, but we don't now. We're not in good financial shape by any means, but we we're competitive with the business as well.
And what do you think has made this different?
Our building. Our building and word of mouth. We have finally gotten people to believe that, yes, we're here and we're going to stay, which they did. It took 3 seasons before they thought we were, before they knew we weren't going to fall in somewhere.
Have you noticed any great difficulties in, other than financially, which we'll probably get to later? But have you noticed any specific difficulties other than that within the community?
Our difficulty, our greatest difficulty still is getting people in here. And we have tried paid advertising, we've tried non-paid publicity, we've tried gimmicks. And we're only reaching, I doubt very much if we're reaching 15% of the community. They see it, they just are not, they're not sure of us. I don't know if it's a matter of thinking, it's a, possibly a high school type of level, which we're not. Or if the community is just not, Salem's not a cultural point by any means, and I think this is largely the problem. But Salem's a sports town, and in the fall and winter, we are back to back on Friday and Saturday nights with football games, with basketball games, and we found that they prefer to see the football and the basketball.
Have you made any adjustment in your schedule considering that?
We have, but it's between the end of August and the middle of February. It's difficult to find 2 weekends in a row that there isn't something going on.
And you usually do require 2 weekends?
Yes, at least. 2 weekends for the straight shows, 3 weekends for the musicals.
And those are usually given?
Early spring and late summer.
So that that doesn't have quite the fun.
No, it doesn't. I know.
Obviously, it's important for a group like yours to get to the public. And as you pointed out, finances are always a problem. So what techniques have you used to try and get additional publicity?
Other than paid advertising, we bought ads at the Journal, Morning Journal, Salem News, and the Vindicator. And we have bought a lot of radio and used Channel 21, Today Show. We try to save that for the musicals because it's an added expense that we know after the musical we can pay. We've sent public service material to 25 to 35 radio stations. We're trying now to cut the advertising budget and see how much people could do for us. And it seemed to work this time. For our last production, Butterflies of Great, everything we did was non-paid. We released balloons with numbers in them. If people, we don't know where, no one ever returned a balloon.
That's what I was going to say. What kind of percentage did you get on that?
I think I heard someone mention they used a little too much helium. They went too far south. They may still be going. Nobody knows. Nobody's
That's a good technique.
Them.
You get all that free publicity. Nobody's going to turn in a ticket.
But we, with the numbers, with the return balloons, we made some good offers. Free season tickets, free tickets to the show, season ticket with 50% off the second season ticket. Advertising wise, what else have we done? Or gimmick wise, but that really is about the strangest thing
I can remember when you were first opening, you had, I don't know if you'd call it a gimmick, a promotion prior to a performance which consisted of an outdoor buffet.
We had an outdoor buffet. We had one. And it was almost a disaster.
Was that sort of an attempt to go back to the dinner theater kind of thing?
No, not really, because it was only done one night. We thought we would have a lawn buffet before West Side Story. We were even calling it the West Side Lawn Buffet. Well, they had put a tent up 2 days prior to this, which went through a thunderstorm and also went through the high school cafeteria windows. Well, they had to put another one up the next day. We didn't do it again because we didn't make any money.
Would you have made any money without the tragedies involved?
I don't think so. We had anticipated many hundreds of people coming to the buffet and then coming to go into the show, seeing the show. But it just didn't work out that way. I think there probably wasn't enough promotion. That's our greatest downfall, is not getting enough promotion.
And for instance, maybe the use of the marquee. Do you find that that is any advantage at all?
It is when it's, we feel it's not changed often enough. We have closed shows, and that particular show with the dates on it are off a week later. But there's something going on in the building all the time, and it should be changed. Yeah, it is an advantage. People do look at it.
How do you advertise your classes?
Flyers, mostly. Flyers to the high school. Also in the newsletter, which comes out prior to the to any production. We get good coverage at the Salem News and the Morning Show.
Just as news stories?
As a release. Just as a news release. They're being quite good to us.
How do you get your mail in this?
It started back with Godspell. We just kept names and addresses of anyone, all and everyone who has ever had anything to do with the theater. Mostly, well, I shouldn't say mostly, because it's not, patrons, cast, former casts and crews, people who make reservations for a show who don't have season tickets. We're now keeping all the names and addresses. When they make reservations, we ask for a name and address, and we ask them if they would like to be on the mail list. They have the option to say yes or no. Most people say yes, or they wouldn't be calling to make reservations. Then after that, they want to know what's coming up.
Do you find that you have the same clientele?
Yes, for the most part. And there are season ticket holders, but we do find people who come to show after show and pay at the door.
Do you have can you give us any kind of an average on attendance? I realize with the various shows, it's a little difficult
it
to do.
It is difficult. The first two shows we did in this building, we sold out 75% of the shows.
Now what were the?
We opened, our first production in our building was a world premiere, The Red Dragon. It was written and directed by Kathy Bernhoff and Greg Smith, who since moved to New York.
Bigger and better?
Yes. Our second one in the building was The King and I. We ran for 3 weekends and sold out each of the Saturday nights, sold out 2 of the Friday nights. We don't do well on Thursday and Sunday, so I would say we have probably had a 50% house.
Now, like on Saturdays or Thursdays and Sundays, why then do you give those performances?
We have discontinued, with the exception of Sunday. We used to do Friday through Sunday, 2 weekend run, and had many, not complaints, but suggestions for a matinee because of our percentage of senior citizens. Many of them do not like to drive at night. If they live near here, near the building, such as the Smith Center or the new condos, they don't like to walk at night. So we're offering a 2 o'clock matinee, not specifically for senior citizens, but they save money by coming to this matinee. And we'd like to see the house full on Sunday, but we're still not getting the Sunday afternoon.
Do you offer a lowered price as they do with many matinee features?
Absolutely, $2 senior citizens.
What about for the general public?
Oh no, no. They have to. They either have to show you. Well, they don't have to show you a Golden Buckeye card. That's the way it originally started. Because. I have worked the ticket booth since the theater began, and when we decided to give the Golden Buckeye discount, I found myself asking people if they had Golden Buckeye cards.
Ooh.
And they don't. So we're. I think you can now. You can tell. 99% of the time, you can tell if they're to be considered seniors. If they are, then you just charge them the senior citizen rate.
And do you have a lower rate for them other evenings, or is
no,
it just on Sunday?
No, only on Sunday do they get the
What about the student, or the season ticket price? Is it the same for
no,
senior citizens?
They also have a much lower. Last year we tried a 25, well, our theater was arranged, not physically, but our tickets were sold in three sections, A, B, and C. And the A season tickets were 25, the B's were 20, and C's were 15. This year, we are cutting out the sections altogether. It's a flat fee, right from the front row to the back row. It's $6 at the door, and season tickets are $20, $10 for 12 and under, and seasons and no senior citizens.
Hmm.
So they have it, but their tickets are only good on Sunday afternoon.
Oh, they're, I see. So they couldn't come to a Friday night with that season ticket?
Not with that season ticket.
Oh, okay.
It will be marked senior citizen.
Now, when you, for instance, come up with a plan like the season tickets, how do you approach knowing what you're supposed to do? Is there anything to give you any advice? Do you have any kind of a plan to follow? Where do you get your initial ideas for something like that? Just trial and error?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've tried, this is our third season of season tickets, and it's different. It's been different every year. I think this year we have the best of the previous two seasons. I think it'll work.
What improvements do you think you've made?
The price from when we lowered it. 25, well, although we didn't have difficulty in selling the 25, we just didn't sell very many.
Mm-hmm.
250, 220. Our goal this year is 2,000.
Do you see that as a reasonable increase?
The number of tickets sold?
Mm-hmm.
To
increase it by 10 times?
I think we sell 1,000, we'll be doing real well. I think 2,000 is a little more than we could hope for in this community. But,
what's the advantage of for the theater? What's the advantage of having a season ticket sale?
Guaranteed income. It really is. And for the most part, a guaranteed house.
Most people do take advantage then?
Yes. We made one major change this year, and for a very specific reason. That is, last year our season ticket book consisted of coupons, and that's just what they said. A coupon, good for one person, one performance, and there was a number. This year, the tickets will have the plays on them. There will be, within the season ticket booklet, there will be a ticket for Death Trap, a ticket for The Fantastics, a ticket for Ernest, and a ticket for funny thing happened on the way to the farm. This was done because we were not drawing on our straight checks. They were saving all their season, all their coupons for the musicals.
Mm-hmm.
And if by chance we should sell our goal and did it this way, we would have 2,000 people trying to see and bring friends on their season tickets. We could have 4,000 people trying to see the Fantastics and Forum and have an empty house for Death Cab. So if they buy the season tickets, they have a ticket for that specific show, they don't want to give it away, they've invested money in it, they're going to come.
And on the other hand, if you have a family involved, then it can't be that, or a wife and husband, they can't go to two big musicals with one season ticket book and not go to the others. And yet,
I think that was probably one of the best decisions made all year. although Dracula did very well, we had a lot of community help on that though.
Why was that one so much?
We did it as kind of a trial and error kind of thing. We thought it would be cute to close Halloween, or Halloween weekend would be closing night of Dracula. So we've set a precedent. We're going to open each season with a thriller or a drama, a good mystery, this kind of thing. Just keeping in
the spirit of the season.
The spirit of the season, yeah. But a good friend of all of ours in the theater, a local attorney, happens to carry the name Ghoul. This is Bob Ghoul. And he and a friend of a co-worker decided they would have a party, a pre-show party at Tim Williams, which they did, and they called it the Gaul and Ghoul Dracula Party. Thought it was wonderful. They grabbed, just the two of them alone, got over 200 people to see Dracula in one night. And the rest of it we had already had reservations for, or walk-ins. So we did sell out that night. But that, it's unusual for a straight show to sell out.
What kind of improvements within the structure of the theater, the organization of the board, for instance, how has that changed over the years? Or has it changed?
It has, but I'm not sure that it's anything I can put my finger on. We have, our board consists of people who have been asked to be on the board for their specific talents. We have an attorney on the board who does our legal work. We have an insurance agent on the board who does our insurance work. We have a construction person who does our sets. We have we had an accountant, and I'm sorry he's no longer with us. He did all our taxes, all our accounting, kept our books. He still does, but he for personal reasons, he's just about the busiest man in town. This was one more thing that he could physically take, and mentally too, I think. But each of us, in our own way, has our own specific talents. We're now looking for a treasurer. We have lost our treasurer. She didn't resign from the board, she resigned as treasurer. And we are looking for someone now who is trained in finances. We have three board positions open, and we would like someone in one of those three positions who could act as our treasurer.
What is the total number on the board?
The bylaws, I believe, say I haven't not read the bylaws for 2 years. This is a guess. I believe it says 14 positions with one
one opening at all times.
Hmm.
Many times it's been brought up at board meetings to increase the size of the board. It's worked until, keeping the number low has worked up until now. And we have enough problems solving things. I don't remember ever being in a board meeting where everyone's been here. We're always missing one person. There's enough arguing and bickering now between 13, 12, 14 people, let alone bring another 10 or so in. Too much of a conflict there. We'd like to, because we're a working board.
In addition to the board, there is also then, as part of the board, there is an elected executive group besides that?
I'm not sure what you mean by
that. Like the president, vice president?
We elect our officers. We have a nominating committee now, which we've never had before, consisting of the present guild president, who occupies a seat on the board. It changes yearly. And a chairman and one other board member. Our responsibilities are to our slates of officers for the elections in August, and replacing board members.
Now, speaking of that, of the original board members, how many are still there besides yourself?
Chuck Williams is back. He was the first president. He was on the original board. I think that's it.
Have most of the rest of them continued in the area, or have they gone out and moved away?
No, they have. One by one. At the beginning, we had so few people to do all the work, and it was a little more than at that time some people could take. Now, of course, as I was saying about a working board, there's not one person on the board who hasn't painted a set at one time, or hammered a nail, or sold candy. You know, the board, people think we're sitting in a little ivory tower. There are all kinds of little nasty jokes now going around about board members. but we hope to get to the point someday where we are just a decision-making body. Because it seems to be the general opinion of what a board of trustees is. We are the trustees of the theater, period. We feel we have enough people involved in the theater now that individually we don't have to get out and paint the sets, because people, believe it or not, like to do this,
mm-hmm.
or like to build, or like to sell the candy and just
mm-hmm.
see who's at the show that night. You know, they want to help. Obviously it's increased since the beginning. But I think it's gone about as far now as we would like it to go. And not, we're going through a phase right now where, getting back to the ivory tower, people think we're an elitist group. I don't think we are. There isn't one person on that board who probably wouldn't give up his position to give it to someone else. But as I said, you know, a long time ago, once you're on the board, you're on, you get so involved, you don't want to leave.
Do you are incorporated?
Yes, we are.
And then there's no financial responsibility on the members, on the individual members?
None, and that's why we had to do this. We, using all the locations we've been in, we were never insured for accidents and this kind of thing. We did incorporate, I think it's been going on three years. Take any financial liable suits off of the individual members, which could have happened very easily. Had we not incorporated and someone was hurt in the dance studio or during tap class, I constantly was on my rear end in tap class because the taps are slippery and the floor is slippery. But if someone had been seriously hurt, there would have been 13 people who could have been drained financially.
Mm-hmm.
So we did incorporate, which was better for that reason, much better for tax purposes. All the way around, we felt we should do it.
And then under those certain rules, like electing your four executive officers and that kind of stuff, is all outlined in that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
What do you see as the biggest success that you've been involved with in the theater? What do you feel you've accomplished?
Just looking around, I know what we've accomplished. We have our own building. We have a home, and although I know I'm not alone when I say it's probably a home that we see a little more often than we'd like to. But you can't get away from here. I often thought I should change my address to here and go home occasionally, you know, this kind of thing. But I think our building, and we respect 90% of our accomplishment has been earned respect. The people that do know us, we're now reaching Canton, Youngstown, a good portion of Columbiana County. These people who have seen our productions know what we are, and now instead of thinking, oh gee, I thought, you know, it was another David Anderson High School show or Salem High School production, they know we're not. We're not professional in the professionals in the sense that we are paid. I heard an interesting comment the other day. The only difference between a professional and a non-professional is attitude. And we have a professional attitude. We know we're good. And I think there were a few of us involved in the theater that, you know, for the first couple of years it was, well, we had our doubts, you know, well, or is this touch and go? Are we going to make it or aren't we? But we know we're going to make it. We're never going to be a wealthy organization. But let's know what we're here for either.
Now you've talked about the benefits. I've talked with other people that I've interviewed about the benefits for the community theater of having acquired this building. Let's look at it the other way. What do you think would have happened to the building had the theater not acquired it?
To this building?
Yeah.
I have no idea. It was, I don't think I could ever describe in words that people want to hear the condition of this building when we moved in and the things we found in here. I don't know what somebody would have taken it. It's a landmark.
Do you think it would have been operated as a theater? The movie theater part, had it already been closed?
No, it was still.
He was still operating as a movie theater.
I believe it was still a movie theater, and after the things we saw in the basement and the things we saw in the attic and knowing that what we saw was only a small portion of, you know, it was the things that we didn't see that were, and for, well, for the first 6 months, we had difficulty getting people in who had been in the building to a movie. We had difficulty getting people in here for that reason. They knew what this place was like. Well, they thought they knew. They really didn't. Because nobody, you could never describe. It was beyond words, the condition. But I don't know. I would like to think it would have continued as a theater or something.
The reason I ask is because of the basically borderline financial success of the cinema you're operating. And yet I think you're probably operating it at as low a cost as could possibly be done.
Yes, absolutely, without going under.
And I wondered about the possibility of anybody who was in it for a profit being able to keep a business open at the moment.
Well, to begin with, I don't, unless the individuals had good financial backing, they couldn't have got, and wanted to operate on a profit, they couldn't have gotten the money. Our money was, our renovation money was given to us by the Community Foundation. We are a nonprofit organization. This is why we were given the money to renovate.
Okay.
We were giving it right back to the community in a cultural entertaining sense. If somebody did want to operate this on a profit, they would have had to have had their own money to renovate. Or this, they could never have charged the prices. So Twin Cinema or the Newport or the Mall Cinemas, Twin Cinemas, the money just would not have been, had been gotten had we wanted it for a profit.
I think that probably was a building that might not have seen much use in its original purpose.
No.
What was it originally built to be?
A theater.
Was it? I assumed it was, but then I wasn't sure after I started to say it.
It is a theater. And I think, the reason I say it's a landmark, I think it's 100 years old. I'm not sure, or going on. It seems to me that properties, building properties, aren't considered landmarks until they're 100. And I think this is a landmark. It is to the people of Salem. If it's not in the
official
in the official term, it is to the people in Salem.
What advantages are there to the location of the building? Not necessarily to your having the building, but how is this an advantage over simply in location over the Grand Theater or some other place? Or do you see any advantage?
Yeah, there is an advantage. Just for production ticket sales alone. People are uptown constantly, or downtown, wherever you happen to be from. they stop right out front. Our ticket booth is outside in the public eye. They know from the marquee what's going on all the time, or we try to keep them alert to what's going on. We have found that the greatest disadvantage, if you want to know a disadvantage, is Friday night, a Friday night performance. The stores are open. We have no parking lot. On a beautiful summer evening when everyone wants to be uptown on Friday night, our theater patrons have to do a block and a half from walking. We would love to offer them a parking lot, but we can't. They're not far away, half a block to a block and a half away. And they're municipal library, they're of public.
And they're safe?
They're safe, yeah, for the most part.
It beats going downtown Cleveland.
Absolutely. Anything beats going downtown Cleveland.
No, not anything. What do you see as the future for the theater? What do you think it's going to do in another 15 or 20 years? Still going to be here?
Oh, I think so. I think so. We would like to have the building proper, totally renovated. We would like to turn it into a show place.
Now, are you thinking, I'm going to interrupt and sidetrack you, Todd. Are you thinking about any outside renovation?
There really isn't much to renovate. Our outside, as it stands right now, needs work. We need some paint. We need to finish the ticket booth. One of these days, we're going to do that. But we're hoping, eventually, to renovate the third floor. There is a third floor we're now using for fabrics or some costumes, storage. We're getting a lot of estate donations of clothing, this kind of thing, and it's been cleaned up upstairs. It's been painted. It can be used for storage. It's but we'd like to renovate and redo it as we did the second floor.
Then what would that be used for eventually?
Well, hopefully we could if we need. And we'd like to need more dance studio. We'd like to get to the point where we need more rehearsal halls or rooms. It would be.
Do you feel a competition with, for instance, the Y and other areas that are offering?
No.
There's plenty of kids to go around.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the Y doesn't offer that much in dance for, let's say, 14 years and under. Most of their activities are during the day. And so you're going to get the housewife or the non-working woman kind of person. They offer activities for the Y teens and the, 11, 12, 10, we'd like to have them going all day long if we could.
Is there any other group in town that does provide lessons in those kinds of areas?
I don't know if the Performing Arts Center does or not.
I just wondered if you've gotten any complaints from people who are saying, why are they supporting my competition with Community Foundation's money or whatever, even though they might not be directly.
I don't know that there's that much else going on.
Continuing with the future, 15 years from now.
15 years. Of course, we would like our... We'd like our audiences to grow, which goes. We just need a little help in getting people out there and saying they really are. They really are good. You ought to see one of the shows. We'd like to have a production run of 10, 15 consecutive nights and sell out every night. Not for a profit. We could use the money, but it would be turned right back into the theater. We would be buying costumes, we would be buying sets, we would be redoing offices, redoing rehearsal rooms, and we always have expenses, and we always will have. In 15 years, I know what our gas budget is now. I hesitate to guess what it'll be in 15 years. That will take any profit we ever do make.
You better install some solar heaters on the store.
Yeah. Basically, I would like to see us stay the same. I think we do need improvements. We need improvements in the physical building, but as far as the quality of productions, I just really don't think we can get a lot better than we are. So 15 years, if we're as good as we are now, we'll be doing no more.
So what you need to do is improve the quality of your audience, it's not quality, but quantity.
The quantity, oh, yes.
And do you have any ideas that you might be using in the next couple of years to do that? What way are you taking in that direction?
Well, we have just recently in the last 3 to 4 months, hired an executive director. He is, he's a planner. He's organized, which not too many of us are around him. He's terribly organized, but he's a planner. He has a system for everything. He is running our season ticket campaign. He's a campaigner, too. He's running our season ticket campaign. He'll be in, which starts the middle of this month. He will be probably heading up our funds drive campaign in the fall. He's also directing, he directed our last show and is directing our next show, My Fair Lady. He's probably one of the biggest improvements we've made around here. He's doing the things that he's a front man, which none of us had time to stand, not literally stand out front and say, here we are, but he's acting as our front man, our public relations man, our everything from here on in is funneled through him if a light bulb needs changing. He'll find someone to do it, or he'll probably do it himself, But that's his, those are his responsibilities. He is running the theater. He's running the show.
And so he is, in the literal sense, an executive director,
as well as the theater sense. Yes, he is. He'll be acting as artistic director, hopefully, for many of our shows.
That's what I was going to say. Is there the possibility then that there will be some which he will not be the artistic director
yes.
for?
Yes, and he will probably, that will be his responsibility, I'm sure, is to screen new directors. I know he doesn't want to direct every show every season. You kind of begin to lose your creativity. You can only think so many hours in the day. But I know he is a director. He's a good director and he enjoys directing. He will do a lot of our shows, but he will be basically our front man, which we really have never had.
What is this a full-time position for him then? Is he here all the time?
No, he's here. He's in Youngstown half the day, and I mean 12 hours, and then he's down here the other 12 hours. It would be full-time as far as I was concerned, but no, it's a part-time for the time being.
And is he trained in this area?
Yes, he is. Mm-hmm. He has been in radio or television and theater actually more years than I had originally thought. I would say probably 12 to 15 years.
Oh.
So he's not a novice in this field.
And so hopefully he will bring you the expertise in the management kind of area and yet
yes.
There will still be that ability to be spontaneous and, well, thank you very much, Penny. I certainly have
thank
enjoyed
you.
It.